This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Orange Hotline. Michael, how you doing, buddy?
Hi, Bill. How are you?
I am doing good. I'll tell you this, starting out on a down note, tough news about Cole Madison, huh?
Yeah, Cole Madison, backup guard, offensive lineman, fifth-round pick, Washington State. Took the year off because of a personal reason. I think, you know, we pretty much learned that his teammate had taken his own life, and it was very tough for him to have to deal with. So he spent some time talking about that. First, I guess we'll go to cut two here, Jeff. Matt LaFleur talked about Cole Madison suffering a severe injury in yesterday's practice in pads.
Yeah, it's an unfortunate deal. It's a pretty significant injury. So, but my heart breaks for him, man, because he comes to work every day. He works hard, and he's getting better. And it's just one of those bad injuries.
And he says it's going to require surgery.
You feel bad for him, like you said. He works so hard to kind of come back. And we were talking last week about this team with the depth and the lack of injuries, and then they start off and they're not even into a game yet, and they've got a severe injury that's a season ender, and they've been so good with that this year. That's heartbreaking. But in this business, everybody continues to march forward. So today's practice, I know Matt LaFleur got into the discussion a little bit, Mike, but this is kind of that big deal before they change those travel plans to head out on Saturday. But today's practice, more of a game preparation, walkthrough, get ready, right?
Yeah, on Wednesday, you usually install the game plan. And on Thursday, it's a practice in pads and you get physical. On Friday, they're in shorts or helmets, sweatpants this time of the year. But it's a run-through, and you're trying to go at 100% speed and really working on execution. And I asked LaFleur today about how today's practice went, because actually I noticed after they kicked us out of the Hudson Center, they were going outside and playing the music outside on the Ray Nitschke Field, where they have the Clark Hinkle Field completely torn up, where they're going to put those coals underneath it. So I asked LaFleur how today's practice went going outside, and we took it from there.
Yeah, we had a good practice today. We started off indoors and then we went outdoors just to, get on the grass. That was the main reasoning. I think the weather here is going to be a little colder than it is in San Francisco. But Friday is still, there's still parts of the game plan that you're implementing. So it's not just to go out there and walk through. There's a lot of stuff to implement and as well as clean up.
Do you have like a specific day for like playing?
Yeah, so typically your Wednesdays are more your base normal situations. Thursday's got an added emphasis on third downs, and then today is more of an emphasis on the red zone. We sprinkle in a little bit on Thursdays as well.
Mike, I know there's been a lot made of it. Matt LaFleur going to face the 49ers. There's friends on that team. Obviously a lot of connections there, right?
Well, important to his career. He's a college football player out of Saginaw Valley, and he knows of a guy named Robert Saleh who played tight end in that division. Next thing you know, there are two 24, 25-year-old guys as part of the coaching staff at Central Michigan. This Robert Saleh gets a job through Gary Kubiak and the Texans, and the next year he brings along his buddy from Michigan, Matt LaFleur, because they're both grinders. They both want a future. So that's how LaFleur got his foot in the door at 25 years old in the National Football League. And so you fast forward, and now today, Robert Saleh is the defensive coordinator of the 49ers. People are already talking about him as possibly being a candidate for head coach. And in the meantime, this is how LaFleur hooks up with Kyle Shanahan, the son of Mike Shanahan, the Denver Broncos coach for all those years. And these guys are all working together. So you're facing guys that you spent 7 days a week, 18 hours a day for the last 7 or 8 years on two or three different teams, Falcons and Texans and Redskins. What's it really like? I mean, you've spent so much time with these guys. In some ways, you owe these guys your career and your opportunity. And LaFleur said, you know what, I've been in this movie. Because before he was with the Titans last year. Before, when he was part of Sean McVay's staff with the Rams, they had to play the 49ers.
I'm glad I went through this in L.A. when we played San Francisco, because it was a little bit different for me. I had worked with a lot of these guys for a long time. And then, I have my brother there. I've got Mike McDaniel, who I worked with for a long time. Obviously, Kyle, Robert, everybody knows our relationship. But I kind of got that out of the way in L.A. And so it'll feel different this time around.
And, look, Mike, you got a great relationship. It'd be like you and I suddenly on a different radio station or something.
That's exactly. Like, how do I compete against this guy who's, built this network and meant so much to my career and all that? How do I compete against this guy? So
yeah,
let's not let that happen, pal.
But, we won't let that happen anytime soon, I'll tell you that. Not before I'm dead anyway, right? So then the 49ers, we talked about that defense all day, and really that's the biggest concern when you go to the paper and you start to look at the matchup. That defense has been, while they've given up some points, they're still one of the top defenses in the league.
They are, and so you talk to this Robert Saleh, the guy who brought along Matt LaFleur from Central Michigan to the NFL in the Texans. And, he was asked about this competition of facing your friend LaFleur.
You love your family, you love your friends, you love all that, but when it comes time to competition, you can throw it all away. It's about doing everything you can to put yourself and your team and organization in the best possible light so that we can go execute the best they can. I always joke around, my mother, God bless her, doesn't know how to play chess at all, but if she was sitting across from me, I'm going to try to get her in three moves. It doesn't matter who you're going against, friend, non-friend, it really doesn't matter. You're always trying to do your absolute best.
I hope Matt LaFleur is listening, realize his friends are gunning for him,
And LaFleur said, yeah, he can. His wife and two kids, they're out there right now in San Francisco at Saleh's house. They were out to dinner with Robert's wife last night. I mean, that's what we're talking about. Mm-hmm. That's how close these families are.
Yeah.
So one of the things I kind of did this week is I did a little survey in the Packers locker room, and it came back, I mean, 6 for 6 players that I talked to. You watch these football games, and I know that they talk about the way you went in the NFL's execution and experience and, game plan and scheme. But I'm, in all the years I've done this, when you think about the 85 Bears or the Giants with LT or, teams after that, it's the physical teams that also emerge and at least get into the Final Four, guys that smack people around. And to me, when the Packers played the Ravens in that preseason game, and we were talking about these guys just have an unlimited amount of linebackers. It's no wonder that they didn't spend money on Za'Darius Smith, because look at the 3 or 4 guys that they got to back up in that position. It's just one after the other. It's like a factory in Baltimore, and they are so physical. And then they get into the season, and sure enough, they are smacking people around. The other team I think is the most physical in the National Football League right now are these 49ers, even as banged up as they are. And they've got 11 guys on the IR. They've got 7 starters that haven't been able to practice this week, and they're still 9-1 and beating people up. I mean, that is a deep – we'll find out this weekend – just how deep the 49ers roster is. So just a couple of minutes ago, I talked to Jimmy Graham about this. And I said, Jimmy, to me, watching these teams, Ravens, 49ers, is there something to it? Are they the two most physical teams in the National Football League right now?
Yeah, I mean, there's teams, I mean, obviously the Ravens, they've been doing it for a long time, playing physical. This team, if you look at their history, they've been doing it a long time as far as playing physical. There's teams that when you go in and play them that you're going to have to buckle your chin strap and be ready for those hits. Just know it'll be a downhill game, and from the beginning to the end it's going to be a physical one. I mean, I've had battles with San Fran over the years, and after every game, it's a long way up the stairs into the plane, and for me, this is going to be no different. We know we got to lean on each other. It'll be on the road. We know we have to come together and basically you know, just be downhill in everything we do, you know, with no hesitation and just be ready for a dogfight each and every play.
There you go. Let's do this. We'll take a quick break. When we come back, we'll get more into this with Mike Clemens joining us on the Schneider Orange Hotline. A reminder, hey, we got a lot of stuff going on this weekend. Some of our great sponsors are taking us, Mike and I, down to Miami for the Super Bowl this year. Our friends over at Sloppy Joe's, they got the breakfast this weekend. The big cooker is outside. The slow cooker is outside. And they got great entertainment this weekend as well. If you stop in, ask Joe about the keto diet that he's on, by the way. I don't know if it's on his menu, but he's doing the keto challenge right now. He's dropping a few pounds, looking good for the fall and looking good for the winter time and all the holiday season. So check with Joe about that. Also, our friends over at Usinger, don't forget they have the gift boxes. Now's the time to start ordering if you're going to send these things out, and they make tremendous gifts, by the way, for parties and such. But go to Usinger, Usinger, usinger.com, and see for yourself what it is I've been talking about. And then there's our friends over at the Nice Ash downtown Waukesha. I'm going to be there on Sunday, sitting there watching some of the game, watching the parade go by, just enjoying myself. And stop into the Nice Ash. You don't have to smoke cigars or anything to do that. You can just stop in, have a beverage, and sit back, relax, and listen to some of the music over the weekend or watch some of the games they have on the big screens. Stop into Nice Ash, West Main Street, downtown Waukesha, as they say. Get your ash in here. Stay tuned. More with Mike Clemens, our Green and Gold Insider, coming up next.
I mean, this is an important one for us. The way I look at it, we got to beat them once at their place at some point. You know, it'd be nice to do it now. And they're a good football team, though. They've had a great start to the season, very well coached, both sides of the ball, and I think they've taken care of business at home the entire season, too. So it's going to be a tough test.
There you have it, the words of Aaron Rodgers talking about San Francisco. Got to get one out there. They do have one blemish at home, and that is Seattle. Seattle did end up beating them there, and that's their only blemish on the record. Mike Clemens, our Green and Gold Insider, joining us on the Schneider Orange Hotline. A reminder that the toy drive coming up here starting the week of December 2nd. That's December 2nd. We're looking forward to it. One of the best times of the year. We head down to Blaine's Farm and Fleet in Oak Creek. It's brought to you by Bayview Shade and Blind and Annex Wealth Management, and we can't say thanks enough to them, but we always look forward to that broadcast for an entire week. And I was telling you earlier, if you're going to be out and about, maybe doing a little shopping this weekend, pick up some new unwrapped toys, bring them on down. We can't do this without you. Please come out and join us December 2nd through December 6th at Blaine's Farm and Fleet in Oak Creek. The entire staff is going to be down there collecting toys, so looking forward to it. So Michael, Aaron Rodgers saying, hey, it's about time. We might as well go in there and win one. What the heck, you know?
Well, everyone's talking about, whoa, you know, now here's two teams, 8-2, 9-1. That means whoever wins this, it may determine that whether you're going to have to play a playoff game in January at Green Bay or back out in San Francisco. I think the pressure's on the 49ers for this game because when you look at the fact that, let's see, what's their schedule now? And Peter King wrote about this like 2 weeks ago. He said, yeah, the 49ers are off to a great start, but, you know, do you see the back end of their schedule where they've got to play teams like after this game against Green Bay, they got to play the Ravens in Baltimore. They got to play the Saints in the Superdome, then the Falcons at home, then the Rams. You know, the Rams aren't a pushover. And then they finish out the season in Seattle against the Seahawks. So they could take two or three losses there and you know, be knocked back down to earth and be in a real battle with Seattle for their division. Whereas Green Bay, on the road against the, 2-8 Giants, then they got the Redskins at home, the Bears that are struggling. The big game for the Packers will be up on the 23rd in Minnesota against the Vikings, and then they finish the season in Detroit against the Lions. I don't know if Matt Stafford's going to be back by that. So, you know, the Packers could afford to lose this game the way the rest of their season's going to play out. The 49ers probably really need this one. The other question that's going on is this. I was just looking at the injury report. So one guy who's off the – I mean, all 53 players have been able to practice this week. The practices have been crisp. Just came through this run-through that we had today outside to some of it at the Ray Nitschke Field. Marquez Valdes-Scantling, he's off now. So they're no longer listed with that knee and that ankle injury he suffered two or three weeks back. So now as you get into this final six-game stretch and you're trying to get to the postseason – you know, Devontae is back on there, you know, getting through that turf toe injury. But who's your number two? Is it Geronimo Allison? Is it Alan Lazard, number 13, you know, who emerged when he picked him up? So, Roger, we asked Rodgers this. Do you have a number two receiver right now?
You know, we've been finding a way to win different ways. I think we can is the answer. And I think it's going to take guys buying into their roles and understanding that
1 week, you know, they might have a couple big catches and 140 yards and a touchdown, and the next week they might not be as big of a factor in the game. And that's just the way the game plays out, the plan, the defense we're playing against. I think great teams understand their rules and embrace them and make it more about the team. I mean, obviously everybody wants to go out there and compete and put up numbers and make splash plays, but I think the character and the identity of this team has been that every week it could be something different, someone different. You got to play your role to the best of your abilities, and that's how we've been winning.
Mike, as much as I compare these numbers, what I look at is third down efficiency, turnovers, and things like that. This is the best third down defense, the second best third down defense in the league. The Packers offensively have not been great. They've been better as of late. But this may come down to what you do on first and second down is really going to dictate of how you play the game and how successful you are on third down, right?
Yeah, let's start with that 49ers defensive line, Bill. I mean, they bring four. They're big, and they got two dudes, DeForest Buckner and Eric Armstead, who have now been in there a couple of years. They didn't jump off the page, but they've been in the system going their third or fourth year, and they're really playing good football, and they're 6'7". And Armstead, I've noticed that Saleh has moved him more from like a defensive tackle to more like a nine technique. Sometimes he lines up outside. He might be the guy that's outside of Bakhtiari on some of these plays. But they've got this pounding, and they got seven or eight of these guys, and they just rotate them, and they just pound you all day. Now they're missing D. Ford, their big free agent that they brought in from the Chiefs. Kyle Shanahan, pretty open. I guess it's kind of a hamstring injury or something that, you know, he's going to be out. He's probably not going to be able to play. One of those six or seven starters unable to get on the field. As for the Packers, your guest tonight, you know, Aaron Jones, he's in on 60% of the snaps, but he's got such tremendous productivity in the red zone and in scoring his 14 touchdowns. And, you know, when they set him up wide and he goes for that deep 57-yarder against the Chiefs. Whereas, like, a guy like Christian McCaffrey from the Panthers, he's in 93% of the snaps. I mean, he's in used every play. So they've been able to kind of spare Aaron Jones a little bit and work him in with Jamal Williams. You talk to Robert Saleh, the defensive coordinator of the 49ers, about the Packers are still passing on first and second down. You know, they tend to seem to still be a team that's setting up the run. And Saleh was asked, how is he going to attack the Packers knowing that?
I think they do a really good job of, you know, they've got an RPO system, so sometimes those RPOs come out as passes, we see them as runs. And so it kind of can kind of skew the stat, I believe, the run pass stat. But I just think they do a really good job of taking what defenses give you, reading the box, playing good sound football. Their running game has been emerging over the last few weeks. That back is, I don't know where he came from, but he's a heck of a back, very underrated. So to answer your question, sometimes those stats can get skewed. You just got to watch the tape, see what they're doing, and see where those runs are coming from, what's the situation, time in the game, all those different things can kind of play into that.
Mike, one of the other, you know, matchups that I'm going to be looking at is to see what they do with Richard Sherman, because Davante Adams, we all know, is going to draw a lot of coverage. Now, do they constantly put Sherman on him, or do they go back to kind of how Seattle played it, where Sherman just played one side of the field, you know?
And the other thing is that this guy's running like Gus Bradley Seattle zone, and that's why they've only had four explosive gains downfield. They will not give Aaron Rodgers the deep ball, at least to start. And so unless it's a broken play, like Russell Wilson was able to nail him a couple of times, but you saw the pressure that Wilson was under. And that was one of the things I thought was interesting about when Seattle did beat, when they did beat the 49ers the other night, they had to play their defense, but they just set up Jadeveon Clowney, and he was not going to worry about containing or waiting for that misdirection defense. They were just going to have Clowney go after the quarterback, and he pressured Russell all night long and put a lot of pressure on him, put him on his butt. So is that the way, you know, to go against that defense? I don't know. As for Richard Sherman, you know, he still says Richard, who's come in and helped take that secondary to the next level. I talked about this during the preseason about how much these secondary guys on the 49ers, they're wild. I mean, they are hard-hitting. They had a guy get ejected in a preseason game, and they kept on hitting guys. They didn't care. They're so mad. Quan Williams is their nickel. He's a guy to watch and hitting guys over the middle. But here's Richard Sherman's assessment of the Packers quarterback.
I think he has a really quick release. He can get the ball from anywhere, from any position, body position. He can be leaning, he can be back foot, he can be tripping, he can be on the ground almost, and he can flick it 70 yards. You'd have to check some physics expert or something because, I mean, he makes some really tough throws. It's not like he's not throwing the ball down the field or being really cautious with it. He makes some incredible throws. So, you know, I mean, that's what makes him great. That's why he'll get a gold jacket at the end of this. At the end of the day, you gotta make sure you cover the receivers, you got to know the concepts, and you got to play the defense.
I like the fact that he knows he's got a gold jacket coming, and the fact that he's kind of assessed Aaron Rodgers in the sense of he's elusive, he can go anywhere with the football. You know, look, I still think it's going to come down to this Packers defense against Garoppolo. I mean, I believe that the Packers can score some points, and the 49ers have proven they're going to give some up. But defensive coordinator Mike Pettine, he's got his hands full because this team has been giving up a lot of third downs. They've been biting on misdirections. They've also been giving up passes over the middle. He's got his hands full.
Kyle Shanahan, and I said this early in the season, you know, when I sat through all these OTAs and minicamps and watched LaFleur install his offense, and we were talking to players, and they said, yeah, no, we're watching a lot of 49ers tape and Falcons tape, not Sean McVay Rams tape. You know, they basically put in the Shanahan offense with those triple fakes and misdirections and the fake jet sweeps to set up the play action, all those kinds of things. Now, the Packers have kind of gotten away with that with, you know, Rodgers a lot of times in the shotgun. But when it comes to this defense now, trying to shut out the tremendous, well-executed 49ers offense, I said to Mike Pettine the other night, how do you deal with these 49er multiple fakes and misdirection? Do you tell Za'Darius and Preston to just stay put, which takes away, what, their rush to the passer? Or do you let these guys work off of instinct? How do you do this?
Well, it starts with, you know, the eye discipline. The guys have to know with each call, hey, how do I get lined up and what am I looking at? They can't let the motions and the shifts and then what happens post-snap, they can't let that affect their job, and that's where teams give up big plays against them. One, they're not ready. They'll get up on the ball and go. They're real good at changing their tempo, whether it's no huddle or just getting on the ball quick or get on the ball and then they don't snap it real quick, but they mix it all, which is obviously a challenge. But I don't think you can play just, you know, one or two things against this style of offense. I don't think you can sit back. I mean, if they have a pretty good feel of what you're in, you're going to get carved up.
Hey, Mike, before I let you go, did Kyle Shanahan talk about his friendship with Matt LaFleur at all?
Yeah. As a matter of fact, he was great. We had a long, like, 20-minute teleconference with him. Usually those things last about 7 or 8 minutes, but he was very talkative, very open. He's a very, very confident guy. He'll tell you all about the injuries and all that. Whereas Matt LaFleur, you know, sort of his protege, is a little more guarded in a lot of those kinds of things. And I'm amazed, really, that LaFleur has done well. It's nice to have Aaron Rodgers as your quarterback. But, you know, you've been in the league 10, 11 years as an assistant. You got 1 year where you got to call the plays. But to actually have to put on those headphones and be an NFL head coach and manage a game without ever being a head coach in college or even high school, I find amazing. And I asked Shanahan about how tough it is to be that first-year NFL head coach.
You know, I joke with Matt, you know, he has no idea what, I mean, it took me till my ninth game to get my first win. So he doesn't know what that feels like. He got that over his first game. So it could be a little tough when you have to wait till week 9 to get your first win. But besides that, once you get that first one out of the way, it's just like any other game. It's just adjusting week in and week out and being able to deal with the pressure.
Mike, good stuff. Looking forward to it. We'll chat again. We'll all reconvene on Sunday night. Enjoy your weekend, man.
Thank you, Bill.
All right, buddy. Talk to you later. You go. Mike Clemens joining us on the Schneider Orange Hotline. Schneider hiring drivers right now. You work hard. They treat you fair. 80-plus years have been going to get done. Call them 844-PRIDE. Go to schneiderjobs.com.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.